You're listening to the podcast of Hillside Christian Fellowship. Hillside is a community of believers in Millersburg, Pennsylvania. We hope you are blessed and encouraged by this week's message.
All right. Well, you notice we had a guest up on the platform today. She's not new to many of us, but Don and Anna Boyd have become really dear to us as friends and feel like family. And Anna brought Jeremiah. They're a little, he's just, man, those the Boyd eyelashes right there, just, they captivate. They traveled all the way here from Germany just so that they could be with Barb, knowing that, you know, without a miracle, her time was very limited. And yesterday, Anna ministered in worship over Barb. I'll just tell you how heaven filled the room as she just worshiped over Barb, and Barb responded. You know, all she could really make was just some noises out of her mouth yesterday. She was kind of in a, it looked comatose state to us, but she was interacting, and we know that she heard every word. Her last day was filled with praise and thanksgiving. And then, Anna, thank you so much for coming and doing that. Anna's going to get up in a few minutes and share an update on Don and Anna's ministry over in Germany and down in Israel. But for those of you who don't know that, Anna has a father. And a mother. Rick Ridings is with us today, and it was a real gift. It was a gift to us because Rick's ministry in Jerusalem is called Sukkot Hallel, which means the house of praise, house of worship. Right in Jerusalem, they have 24/7 praise going out over the city. And it's a powerful ministry. He's in the States right now. He's been in Texas. He was just at IHOP over in Kansas City ministering. And he's with us today. And that was a gift to the house, but a gift to me personally. Because I don't know if I could keep it together to preach today. So, boy, God knows how to time things. So we're really grateful to God for the gift we have today. Rick Ridings is going to preach. And at the end of service, we're going to, this is also news to the offering guys, we're going to take a love offering to bless Rick's ministry. At the end of service today on your way out, you'll be able to give. Toward, so if they're in the back counting the offering, can somebody tell them I just said that? Because that's, thank you, James. So who's going to share first? Are you going to have Anna? Okay, so Anna, you're going to come and share, but let me pray for you first, and then I'll just hand the service over to you guys. Could you extend your hands forward, please? Lord, we rejoice and thank you for Anna's ministry over Barb yesterday and here today, over Rick's ministry, that he's going to bring an impartation today we know that's going to bring life and that more abundantly in the house. So we receive this family as a gift to us today with hearts and eyes and minds open wide to receive the impartation, not just words to instruct our mind, but an impartation so the word will be engrafted into our lives and change us from here and forever. We rejoice in this gift and receive them and pray that your fresh oil would be poured out on the both of them as they now minister to your body. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right, Anna, we are all yours.
Well, I hesitated to give a family update because I just want it to be all about Barb this morning. But then I thought that's what Barb would want. She wants to know, she's always asking about how each of the kids are doing and how's our ministry going, and you know. And yesterday I was just telling her all about everything. And two highlights of this past year have been I connected with my parents, the youth music worship camp in Israel that I was able to go for, and they watched little baby Jeremiah while I could be with the girls. I felt like a college student again because I was able to like room with them, and because Don had the rest of the kids back in Germany, and it was just me going. And he's amazing, by the way, of just releasing me to do ministry, which is such a blessing. But and I happened to be, but it was really the Lord, in a room with a girl who had just lost her mom 7 months before to cancer. And I was able to help her since we lost my little sister at age 29, a little over a year ago, to cancer as well. So we just talked about grief, and we were able to just cry together. And, you know, her name is Tal, which means morning dew in Hebrew. And she's just a songwriter, a worshiper. And she was really disappointed at one point in the camp, just saying, I haven't been able to write a song, and that's what I came for. And she's just a real headstrong, you know, personality. And so I helped her write a song that afternoon, and everything just, the Lord just orchestrated everything in that camp. And it was amazing because also the Bethlehem, the Palestinian believers that came from Bethlehem were really, really prayed over and just loved. Like, we spent a couple hours the last day, Bethany, my older sister, just initiated this time of prayer for them, and they were just weeping. I mean, you know, and in Arab culture, for a man to weep, it's a big deal. And you had, you know, ones who were about to go in the Israeli army, or ones who had just finished, like, hugging them and saying, you know, I love you, and we, you know, we're one in Yeshua and Jesus, and it was just so beautiful to be a part of. And so, you know, it's hard for us that we can't live in Israel, visa-wise, but we, it's amazing how God just always opens doors for us to minister there, or for Israelis to come visit us in Europe and have a break from the intensity, because, you know, the spiritual atmosphere is so just heavy and strong, especially in Jerusalem. And we've already had a bunch of situations where they were able to just come over and get a break. So the Lord uses, everything works out for the good, those who love God, and we just trust him. And something I wanted to share for Hillside this morning. I always pray, you know, asking God to give a word for you guys, like in the present moment, you know. And we love you, each of you, so much. And we don't know all of you by name or anything, but we just feel really like you guys are family. So, and I'll say more about our ministry afterwards, but I really want to take time now to say, first of all, what Don has said in tears, when a parent suffers, I mean, when a child suffers, a parent, how many of you know, like, suffer so much more? And there's this religious view of God of feeling like he's distant and indifferent, and it couldn't be further from the truth. And so that's something that Don really kind of spoke out recently, and I thought, I want to share that, because it goes with what I feel for Hillside this morning. So the verse that came to mind immediately when I prayed for you guys was, how often I have longed to gather you like a mother hen gathers her chicks. And just, you know, we've lost a mother, you know, in Barb, and she had such a way of making people feel valued and accepted and important, and just such a also sense of humor, and just you know, telling you things directly. And, you know, she often reminded me of, like, a typical Israeli personality, just super, like, direct and blunt and strong but sweet, you know. In Hebrew, the Holy Spirit is she. In the beginning, the Holy Spirit, she hovered over the waters. Okay, so there's this mother heart of God as well as the father heart of God. And how often I have longed to gather you. And this morning when you guys were all together, gathered around the Labone family, it was like exactly that picture. I just saw the wings of God around you. And when we're in that position of being covered by his wings, that's where we find healing and hope and strength. Because I can tell you that from our process with my little sister, like, every day you're crying out to God for strength. Help me wake up. Help me get out of bed. Help me put one foot in front of the other and just get through this with you, Lord. And then the sweetness that flows from that, from the comfort you've received from God, is so unlike any other sweetness that flows from suffering. You know, the sweetness that comes from suffering is, nothing else can compare with it. And you can comfort others with the comfort you receive. And so along with that, the exhortation I felt for you guys was to really guard your relationships with one another, and to guard that unity. You know, when you're under his wings, you can handle conflict better. You can handle hurt or disappointment better because you're warm. You know, when someone's cold, they're just like, oh, just get me inside right now. It's freezing out here, you know? Or if you're tired, you know, it's, everyone gets hangry, and, you know, like, it's we're all human, you know? But there's that warmth and that edification that comes from being under God's wings that makes it possible to maintain that unity. And I just feel so strongly that God wants to speak that to you guys also from John 17, that they may be one as we are one. You know, so that's what I felt to share with you this morning. And we're all pressed up against his heart, And oh, yeah, it made me think of Yedidia, my now 13-year-old. Since he's not here, I can tell this because it's kind of embarrassing. He, anytime we would be like in a tense conversation or like the atmosphere was a bit, you know, he'd just like skip into the room and go, anyone you want a guha? Like group hug? Guha? And it's like, I'll never forget that, you know, and so, and he still does that. He'll walk into the room and just, you know, he's just got that happy-go-lucky personality that just lightens the atmosphere. And so just, I thought of that because of the group hug. When God gathers us, it's like we're doing a group hug. It's not, we're not only pressed against his heart, we're pressed against each other, and we're sharing life together. We're one in him. And that's precious, and just to guard that. Back to our ministry in Germany, I've had the opportunity to invest in young worshipers, which is really exciting for me. So that's, that's our family. It's not the newest picture, but we kind of photoshopped Jer into there. So yeah, those are our kids' names. They're also unique. Please pray for Naomi. She has severe scoliosis, but she's a worshiper. She's in constant pain, but she's constantly pouring out her heart to God on the piano. It's amazing. Pray for Didier. He's still into sports, and he just makes all his friends laugh and does group hug, guha. And then Elijah is such a determined personality, so that's awesome. Not always easy, but awesome. And he's determined to become a DJ, so that's interesting. Yeah, he plays trumpet. And then Nava there at the bottom is just so creative and feisty and fun. So, and then Jeremiah just brings us so much joy. So we're so grateful. And they're all in this international Christian school, so where I'm able to minister as well in the area of worship, because there's chapel once a week. So it's with middle schoolers, which I love. I love working with middle schoolers, so we have a lot of fun. But then also moments of saying, how are you doing? And just real, they've just opened up. They've come to the point where they're able to say, like, this one girl said, I wake up in the morning and I just want to cry and go back to bed. Like, I have a hard time just starting the day, you know? And so that honesty and that safe place to share that kind of stuff. So pray for wisdom. I asked Barb, you know, pray for wisdom for me with being there for these youth, for these teenagers, and who come from all nations, by the way. It's a missionary school, so it's like, they come in and out. There's lots of transient families, and many of them want to become missionaries when they grow up. So there's that thing of impacting the nations through pouring into young people. And Naomi, by the way, I also wanted to mention, in April we'll be going to South Africa to work with orphan children, which is so her heart. She's so excited. So be in prayer for that, and she'll need to, raise support for that. So just pray that God will provide and everything. And she's just going for it. They're ready to just live out the kingdom. So not without challenges, but you know, the heart's there. So thanks for praying for our family. We pray for you guys, and we appreciate you lots. So I'll hand the mic over.
Yeah, I have this mic here. Well, it's good to be here. Some of you who are very old may remember us. I think it's been about 15 years since I've been here. Something like that. It's a long time. But at a certain point, for relationship's sake also, because Don and Hannah were going out in missions, we asked if they would be willing to transfer the missions over to them. Then when Don got this job that he's doing right now, they had felt that they should suggest to the church if you could transfer your missions back to us to what we do in Israel. And so what I'm going to do, share a little bit about what's happening in Israel right now. I think a lot of people here, I hope a lot of people here pray for Israel, and that'll help you to know a little bit about what we're doing there, but also a thing or two about Israel. And then I'm going to share in the message, and this I felt yesterday when Steve had sent through a note to Anna that if I was Pastor Steve, if I could share this morning, that be happy to do that. We were happy just to be here to support her. I've been speaking at a lot of conferences and International House of Prayer in Kansas City and a conference in Dallas and things. So I was happy to we were happy just to be here. I got in Thursday night and we went and picked her up at the airport on Friday. But the timing was amazing. And I had already felt I should just share some things that I feel like the Lord spoke to our hearts during the time of, which is obviously still continuing, the grieving over our daughter, 29 years old, who went home to the Lord a year and a half ago. And so to the family, we say we certainly stand with you. And I'm so glad to hear about that vision. I'll share a little vision that our daughter's husband received that helped so much for him and for us. I'm going to have my wife share a vision too with you a little bit, but maybe introduce my wife first. This is Patricia, my wife, and mother of 14 grandchildren. Our oldest daughter's married to an Israeli, her husband, he's third generation. His grandfather came to Israel in 28 or 29 from Poland, and warned his family, you all need to come here, it's going to get dangerous in Europe. And they all thought he was crazy, because where he lived in Galilee, they had malaria in addition to people that wanted to kill them. But he obeyed what the Bible said, and for the Jewish people to be in the land. And he felt that he should be in the land to be protected from what would happen in Europe. By the end of World War II, all of his family had died. Mother, father, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, cousins, all died under the Nazis in Poland. And he was the only survivor of his family. And that may be part of why his grandson wanted to have 8 children. So they're definitely replenishing the family population there. And that keeps our lives quite busy. In addition to the ministry, they live about 10 minutes walk from us and are very involved in our house of prayer there. One of the exciting things that's been happening in that Anna mentioned a little bit about the camp with the young people, but also is that we're just seeing children and young people that love to worship the Lord. And that's so exciting to us. There, it started out more with teenagers, and Anna actually helped pioneer that. And I had a friend who would come over to our house, and they'd start every some night or whatever it was, and they'd worship together. And it grew into a youth watch that today is a citywide intercongregational watch in Hebrew that's worship and prayer, a little bit of teaching. It's about 3-hour watch, but all led by the youth themselves in terms of the worship and the prayer. And then a little later, a grandson, Bethany's oldest son, Yoshi, we call it, in English it'd be Josiah. And he came when he was, how old, about 10 or 11, maybe 11. And he had a vision of a bunch of kids out in the desert, and they were just thirsty, dying for water. And angels started bringing, he said, buckets of water and pouring them on us and giving them water to drink. And God put it in his heart about wanting to start worship with kids his age. And so they began to teach him some songs, and they began. And before long, it grew into about 20 kids, 11 to 13, that would lead worship for an hour. They would worship and pray for an hour or so in Hebrew, and so excited to worship the Lord. So that just blessed us so much. And we let them pray for whatever they want to pray for. Their two favorite topics, one was the Syrian children refugees, and the other was that God would stop abortion in Israel, and which followed the United States, unfortunately, in that area. And so it is great to see children that love to pray and love to worship. And now it's gone down another generation of their kids around 7 up till 11 that have about an hour or so that they have worship. And part of that time they lead themselves. And it was really exciting recently to hear when the little girl, 7 years old, was singing spontaneously, "We will shine as lights in a very dark world." And so it's great to see kids loving to worship and going to worship. And then we're thankful that Don and Anna can still come in fairly often, because they're near them as a main hub for the cheap flights to Israel from Europe. And that worked out really well. So we're glad they can come in, like Anna coming in, helping with the youth camp, and gave so much into these young people. And then our third daughter, Esther, will tell more about in just a little bit, is the one who went home to the Lord last year. And she married a young man from England. So I told someone, we've reaped what we've sowed and traveling in the nations with our kids all these years, and we didn't have any American son-in-law. We only had Israeli, a Canadian, and British sons-in-law. But we thank the Lord for them. I'll share just a little bit about what we do there and about Israel, and then I'll share the message. But and in that, I'm going to have my wife share a little bit, too, of a vision the Lord gave her that spoke to us. This is our prayer room there in Jerusalem. It's kind of hard to see. I understand Nathan from here. We thank the Lord for that. Nathan is a blessing there. And unfortunately, we didn't know we were coming in time to let him know. I'm so sorry. This was very last minute that worked out that we could come. But we've had for this, we started 20 years ago in our living room. At the time, we were traveling in many, many different nations. Excuse me. And we were doing citywide prayer gatherings. Actually, many, many years ago, about 1990, we did one in Harrisburg. And it was called Pray for the City. And it brought together different churches and pastors and leaders to come together in the evenings to worship and pray and repent for the sins of their cities, have reconciliation, pray for unity together, pray for their city together, and then a spiritual proclamation over their city of scriptures and things against the powers of darkness in that city. And in Harrisburg, they said it really was the beginning of the breakthrough. It's when the pastor's group first started, grew out of that to meet together and pray together. And they said before that they hadn't really gotten together. And so God would use these in different cities. We didn't do much in America. It was mostly overseas. And by God's grace, a lot of those had grown to several, where some places there were several thousand people. And the Lord said, lay it all down, and I want you to wait on me. There's a change coming in your lives. We lived in Belgium and had lived there for 13 years. We're based out of Brussels. And so we laid it all down. The Lord said, just seek me for about 3 months, actually said. And we enjoyed the time with the Lord, but at the end, we still didn't know what he was saying of a change. And then he spoke to our hearts very, very clearly one day. My wife and I were up on Mount Zion in Jerusalem. And God said, I want you to come to Jerusalem, move here. If you're willing to bring your family, I'll use them to touch the lives of the young people here in Israel. I want you to start 24/7 worship and prayer in the spirit of the tabernacle of David, the tent of David, within walking distance of where he originally did that. And then I want you to do anything you can to encourage youth, to love them, serve them, pray for them, do anything you encourage a move of God among the young people in Israel, because I want to do something major among the young people in Israel. And we still believe that. In the book of Revelation, it talks about 144,000 on Mount Zion, who it said, walk in purity and follow the Lamb wherever he goes. And a dear brother who lived there in Jerusalem, we were at his funeral, actually, Derek Prince, believe was a Bible teacher. He said, I believe the 144,000 are a first fruits youth revival in Israel before Jesus returns. You know, I don't think it's at all wait till Jesus comes back. But and Romans 11 says that all Israel will be saved. But there's something before that, and it is growing amazingly. Our son-in-law, just his parents, when they became believers in Jesus, Jewish believers, you call Messianic believers. His name in Hebrew is Yeshua. So Messianic believers in Yeshua. And when they first became this, they would gather all the people together in Israel about 40, 45 years ago, and they'd have 100 Jewish people who believed in Jesus in the whole land. And today they estimate there are 20,000 Jews in Israel who believe in Jesus, many, many more across the world, but just within Israel. So God is moving by his Holy Spirit. He's doing some new things and some powerful things. But we feel like the breakthrough happens through prayer. And that's why we felt God said to do 24/7 worship and prayer. Soon after we started the house of prayer in our living room, and so we laid down these big gatherings and just had a few people in our living room. And soon after we started that, it started a period in Jerusalem where they had suicide bombers. There were bus bombings. And that is really not the best time to recruit people to come and work with you. But God told us to stay there. And the Lord gave us grace and protected all the kids. All of the kids missed bombs at different times by 5 minutes or so, all of us. And the Lord, we saw the Lord's protection on our lives. I remember Patricia's mom, was from Mechanicsburg, She, well, you'll call up every bombing report on the television. What, are you okay? What's happening? And so concerned, we said, Mom, we're praying. The Lord's protecting us. It's okay. You know, we're okay. And she, you know, be freaked out and calling. And then she came for Bethany's wedding, the oldest daughter. And it was during that bus bombing time. And Bethany had to go pick up her wedding dress downtown. And the guy said, you can come. I don't, like Monday or Tuesday or something like that. He said, you can come either Monday or Tuesday at 2 o'clock, or at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, at a specific time. And, of course, she wanted to ride away, so she said, well, I'll come on Monday. I'll come the first day it's ready. And so she went, and they all stood outside of a restaurant downtown waiting for her. She came back all excited, brought her wedding dress. They came home. The next day at that same restaurant, at that same time, exact time, there was a bomb that blew up and killed 18 people. And God had, you know, just sovereignly, if they had chosen the next day, who knows what could have happened. But we just saw the hand of God and how he protected us. And then after that, her mom wouldn't call anymore. And we kind of, well, aren't you worried about us? You know, and she says, no, I saw how God protects you. And God takes care of you. And so she, you know, well, call anyway, you know, check on us, you know. And but she saw it. She said, I just see it now. You know, I didn't understand it before, but I see now how the Lord protects you and keeps his hand on you. And but the interesting thing is we built up very slowly through all that time to enough people to do worship and prayer 24 hours a day. That means day and night, night and day with human beings, not just leaving a recording on the room and leaving the room, but somebody always worshiping and praying there in the room. And by God's grace, there have been 4 years of the bus bombings, and by God's grace, the last successful bus bombing was just weeks before we went 24/7. And we're not saying that's the only reason, but we really do believe that's part of the reason. There are a lot of people praying all over the world in different places, others praying there in Jerusalem, but I really believe that's what broke it through and shifted the atmosphere in that city. And people who come now are just amazed at the difference in that area. They said, we used to come in this area and it felt such extremely heavy warfare here. It just felt so oppressive. And they said, we still feel the intensity, but something's broken through. And so we believe worship and prayer. How many believe worship and prayer can change atmospheres, can shift atmospheres and shift what's happening? And we actually just wrote a book that came out last week at this Dallas conference in Dallas called Global Prophetic Summit, where I was speaking with Cindy Jacobs and Lou Engel and some others. And this book, Patricia and I just wrote, well, I just wrote, we wrote over about 5 years. There's a lot going on. And anyway, we finally got it finished. But it tells the story, but woven in it are things of how we can see a city or see a nation change. It's called Shifting Nations through Houses of Prayer. But it doesn't mean just through houses of prayer. It just means our worship and our prayer could change the atmosphere over our nation. How many believe America still needs a lot more shifting? You know, it's so important that the church not think that somehow because we start to see some breakthrough and more openness for Christians coming in and speaking and counseling in Washington that suddenly that's all over. That's just the beginning of a shift and a change that God wants to do in this country. And he didn't say if the government will change. He said if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin, and I will do what? Heal their land. Our land, this land needs healing. Israel needs healing. But it's going to happen through prayer and through worship, humbling ourselves before the Lord. And so by God's grace, we feel we've seen some shifting of the nation there already. We believe the Lord for a lot more. But we keep praying for here, of course, too, because we're Americans. We're standing with you that America turn back to God and that we see a massive shift and change. So those will be available. Pastor Steve said they could be available on a table out here afterwards. They're normally $18.95, but when we're here in person, they're $15. And if anyone wants them signed or anything, you're welcome to that. So this is Steve's copy here. So bless you. So good to see Steve again. Praise the Lord. I didn't realize before about your Jewish heritage too, so that was really, it was interesting to find out today. So our windows of our prayer room there look right out at the Temple Mount. You remember, you've seen the pictures of Jerusalem, the big golden dome mosque on the Temple Mount. Well, that's right out the window. We look right at that, and then at Mount Zion and at the Mount of Olives. So definitely we're remembering that Jesus is coming back, and it's time to prepare the way and prepare the way now. In the lower left-hand corner there, it's kind of hard to see, but there's a man with a kind of a red flag over him. He's an Iranian terrorist, an Islamic Iranian terrorist I shouldn't make that clear. Thank you for that correction. What kind of house of prayer is this? So he was an Iranian Islamic radical terrorist. And one day he just began thinking something's wrong with this picture. And he said, God, I just can't believe the things I've been doing, the killing, the raping, all these horrible things I've been doing are what you want. And if somehow you're different than what I've been taught in the Quran, would you let me know? And Jesus appeared to him. And Jesus totally, radically revolutionized his life, forgave him his sins, changed him, made it. But the amazing thing was he put love in his heart for the Jewish people and for Israel. So he escaped from Hezbollah, escaped from Iran, and went to Canada, got citizenship there, was going to just stay there, had a Canadian passport, and God said, I want you to go to Israel now that you can go on this Canadian passport and tell some Jewish people there that you love them and that you're so sorry for how you hated the Jewish people in Israel before. So he came in our gathering and did that, just weeping. And then the guy next to him is an Israeli that came over and just put his arms on him, was praying blessing over him. Later, he brought back 37 Iranians the next year, mostly from Canada. But one of them had escaped from Iran, had been a Christian, and had spent 6 years in jail for the name of Jesus. And there they were, in this prayer room. And one of the Jewish people said, I really feel we need to wash their feet. Now, you've got to understand, Iran is the country that's saying over and over, we're going to wipe Israel off the face of the map. And then for a Jewish Israeli to say, I think we should wash the feet of these Iranians, was quite a sign. So they did. All the different Jewish Israeli people in the room were washing the feet of these Iranians. They just started pouring, weeping and weeping, just so overwhelmed and saying, well, this is so different than what they told us Jews were like. it was really very powerful. And after that, he felt like God said, I don't want you just to do this with Jews who believe in Jesus, who are more likely to accept you. I want you to go to some up at the northern border to some soldiers and tell them you used to be on the other side. So he went up to the northern border with Syria, and he told the soldiers there, I used to be on the other side. I was Hezbollah, part of Hezbollah. And he said, but Jesus changed my life, and he put a love in my heart for you. And, they could have... What do you do with this guy? And they put him on a chair, which is what we do at birthdays in Israel. They put him on a chair and lifted him up in the chair, went, hurrah, hurrah, hurrah. And we're just rejoicing over this guy. It was just amazing. So Jesus can do things that no politicians could do. He can change hearts. And the next slide here is some slides of our youth conference. We did washing feet there one time where they washed each other's feet. The youth conference we did for 10 years was called Elav, which is Hebrew, it means unto him. And then we started these camps that Anna was sharing about called Dor Haba that are for teenagers. But they brought together hundreds of Jewish and Arab and Messianic Arab and Palestinian youth over the years. And we had a man who was an ambassador to UNESCO, and he was an evangelical believer, and someone, in government circles told him, because he was concerned about the Middle East, thank you, he was concerned about the Middle East, and they told him you need to drink lots of water there, and they said, well, we know a group that sees hundreds of Jewish and Arab and Palestinian kids come together and reconcile. And so he contacted us. He said, can I come? We want to learn how to do this for UNESCO. I said, well, you're welcome to come, but I don't think what we do will work in UNESCO. It's not a political plan. I said, what we do is we worship Jesus in Hebrew and in Arabic, and God's presence comes, and the kids just end up wanting to ask each other forgiveness, and their hearts just change. And so he came. And at the end, he said, I see what you mean. He said, this really works, but I can't quite see it working in the United Nations. It's not something that we can work at a political formula. He said, it is the presence of God. He said, I could just feel it. The presence of God just came in the room when you're worshiping. And then, you know, all kinds of things happened between the Jewish and Arab and Palestinian youth. The next photo, after about 10 years of that conference, we began to realize, how can I say that, what had started as a youth conference with a lot of teenagers had become a young adult conference. They kind of grown up with the conference over 10 years. And we felt the Lord said, lay that down for a while and focus back again to teenagers. And that was the birth of what's called Dor Haba, Next Generation National Teen Worship Camp. And that's what Anna was such a key part in this year in ministering to these young people. And I don't know if you can see it, but in the middle picture there, the one boy has a kippah and he's Jewish, and the other boy next to him is Palestinian with their arms wrapped around each other, praying for each other. Only God can do that, you know. Ephesians 2 said, Jesus through his cross has broken down that middle wall of it doesn't say just separation, it says enmity and hatred, has broken it down and made of the two one new man, Jew and Gentile together. And that's the, it's such a, how could I say, such a witness to people in the Middle East as they see this happening. And so the new camp is only for teenagers. And how can I say, we've had a little more time, and it's just so powerful to see how God is working among these teenagers, like Anna was sharing there. It's just, and a lot of the young adults who were touched in the previous things come and help with that. So we had like this summer, 75 teenagers and about 50 young adults who helped them. And each young adult would have a group of, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 kids. They would sit with them. They would meet with them in the morning to read the Bible together, talk about things in the scripture together. Over the Holy Spirit times in the evenings, they would lay hands on them, be praying over these teenagers. And so it got these young adults out of just receiving into giving and ministering. And we really believe there's something God wants all the generations to walk together and from generation to generation to worship the Lord and to give into the next generation. And that's a wonderful thing you see at a time like this with Barb as well, is the legacy, the heritage, the example of the generations and how that passes down. There's an amazing scripture that says the blessing of God is to 1,000 generations on those that fear him. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? You know, we hear sometimes there's all, it talks about the sins of the fathers are visited to the third or fourth generation. That's a curse in the family. But in Galatians, it says Jesus became a curse to break any curse. So no, it doesn't matter what's been in our family, if it's been alcoholism or sexual sin or anger and rage or whatever it's been, drug addiction, it can be broken by the power of the blood of Jesus. Praise God. We can stop. But even without the blood, it talks like it only goes 3 or 4 generations. But the blessing of God is to 1,000 generations. And so those of you who have family, you know, before you who serve the Lord, what a wonderful blessing that is, that we can be thankful and grateful for that. If you're the first one in your family to come to Jesus, you start the cycle of blessing. You're the start. You're the door to open a cycle of blessing in your family that can last for 1,000 generations, just because, well, I mean, Jesus will come before then. But that's how strong the blessing is. Do you understand? It's such a powerful thing. And we need to thank the Lord and pray that blessing over our children, over our grandchildren. Proclaim the blessing of God over their lives and the inheritance that we have together. The next slide. That's our website. If you want to know more about it, also we put prayer alerts on there, prophetic prayer alerts. You can sign up for those on there. And that's like when something big is happening in Israel, and we say, please pray for this right now. or sometimes God gives a vision or something very clear, pray in this way, and we share those things on that website. We've been blessed to see, you mentioned about the vision God gave you as you were praying for your mom. And that's something very scriptural, that we can believe the Lord. God can speak through visions and dreams to us. And just one quick example, one time we were praying and worshiping, and the Lord gave me a vision. And among other things, he showed me these wolves that were coming at Israel. Israel looked like a red, raw steak. And the wolves were coming from every direction, from the north, you know, from Syria, from Iran, from Egypt. They were just coming every direction to eat this steak. And there were witches, actually, that were calling them to come. But then what surprised me, I saw in this vision, I saw sharks coming from the Mediterranean, from the west, on the seacoast. And we never thought about praying protection over the seacoast. And I saw these sharks coming with their teeth, like, give me that steak. And I thought, well, Lord, what does that mean? I mean, we don't have a problem with sharks in Israel. But the Lord showed me it was military. It was a military danger, just like the wolves represented military danger, and that we should pray protection. Well, a man was there in very, very highest levels of security, briefs presidents and prime ministers in security, and he's a believer. And he heard me share it, and he said, Rick, I can't tell you what I know, but keep praying about the sharks. God showed you something there. Keep praying about the sharks. He said, what I know is classified, so I can't share it. But he said, keep praying about the sharks. Well, about 2 years later, he came to me, and he said, you remember I was here when you shared the vision about the sharks in the Mediterranean? I said, yeah, we've kept praying about this. He said, well, it's been declassified now, and I can tell you what it meant. He said, we knew that North Korea had developed a new kind of submarine that's almost impossible to track in the water. And we knew that they had sold it to Iran. We had strong evidence they had sold it to Syria. And the name of the submarine was the Shark. So I looked it up, on the internet and military sites, and they talked about this submarine that is now declassified, that the North Koreans had invented this submarine called the Shark. How many believe God can show us stuff we can't read in the newspaper? The hidden and the secret things belong to God. You know, we can pray about what we see in the newspaper, but God can show us things that will never be in the paper, you know, and that are classified, but they're not classified with God. And God can help us to know how to pray. So we put those visions or, you know, prayer alerts there on the website, and you're welcome to look at that. And I think that's maybe enough on that. One more thing about recently in Israel, and then we'll go into what I wanted to share with you this morning as a message. It's the thing of visions. Back in September 9th, my wife Patricia was leading a watch we have, a time we have. By watch, I just mean part of the day, you know, a two-hour time. And so she was leading the Monday morning worship watch where we pray especially for the government and the nation. And as she was leading this, I just went into a vision. Excuse me, I saw God like wrapped in dark storm clouds, like black, dark clouds. And I'd never seen that. It's in the scriptures, but I'd never, you know, seen that in a vision. And suddenly, and he was above the Temple Mount, like on a throne. And suddenly, three lightning flashes went out from him. One went to a demonic throne that was over the capital of Turkey. And it shook that throne, that demon. How many know in the Bible, demons have a throne above a city? They're what they call principalities and powers, demonic powers that try to affect that country and that city. And it hit that throne and it started shaking and pieces of the throne began falling off of it. And which to me meant something was delayed, something fell apart that was planned. And then it was sudden that God would somehow. So when one went to the capital of Turkey, one went to the capital of Russia, and one went to the capital of Iran. And that was on September 9th. On September 16th, the newspaper caught up with what God was showing. And in the newspaper, it said the presidents of Turkey and Russia and Iran are meeting today in Turkey. And so they're traditionally enemies. And here were these three enemies coming together. And it was like God was showing us there was something evil being cooked up. Excuse the pun, in turkey. Not the kind of turkey you'll have this week. But there was something evil being cooked up in turkey. You just hit me. You cooked up in turkey. Anyway, enjoy your turkey. Anyway, something evil was being cooked up there. But God was going to delay it. You know, now in the scriptures, there are times in prophecy where it talks about it, there will be an end time thing where it likely will involve Turkey and Russia and Iran. And prophecy experts, you know, kind of are all excited about this. But our role as intercessors is to say, God, what is the timing? And we felt God said, Satan is trying to push something way ahead of my time. And I do not want a major Middle Eastern war to happen now. I want a harvest to happen now. I want to, you know, move in a huge way in Israel and in the Middle East. And I want to delay what Satan is trying to do. Even when he does succeed, God will intervene and stop it, and people will come to the Lord through that. But he said, it's not time yet, right now. So he said, I want you to proclaim this. So we proclaimed it sometimes, but we felt especially to proclaim it during the biblical feast of Sukkot, Feast of Tabernacles, which happened in October. So on October 14th, we had people from many, many nations in our room and our Israelis there. And I felt God said, I want you to proclaim tonight really strongly about lightning going out, striking these demonic thrones in Turkey and Russia and Iran. Well, in Israel, we could have 4 or 5 months with no rain at all. We're in Jerusalem, where we live. It's at the edge of the desert. You can have as much as 4 or 5 months with no rain. And we only have storms with lightning or thunder maybe once or twice in a year. We'll have a storm with lightning and thunder. As we began to proclaim that God was covered with dark clouds and God was going to strike with lightning these demonic thrones, it started lightning outside. And I want to show you this video. We blew trumpets in the direction, you'll hear it on here, toward Turkey and then toward Iran. But I want you to see how, as we would proclaim, God will send forth, Psalm 29, verse 7, the word of the Lord is like lightning. And we said, God is sending forth his word like lightning to these demonic thrones right now. And you'll see in the video here how God confirmed his word. We hope we can show. Is it not coming through? It didn't. The video didn't come download. Sorry, it didn't load off there. Okay, I'm so sorry. I sent it to him by email. I wish you could see it. But basically what happened is we said, let's turn toward Turkey and we declare the Lord is speaking and the Lord is coming like lightning to this demonic throne over Turkey. And when we said, is doing that and blew the trumpets, boom, 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 there was lightning all across out our front window. And then we said, now turn to the east toward Iran, and we begin to proclaim and blow the trumpets toward Iran. And as they blew the trumpets, boom, 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 just lightning, one flash after another of lightning out the window that came. And I'm sorry that through email, sometimes it doesn't work. I tried to send it because it was rather last minute here. But anyway, God speaks like lightning. The other thing he did that night, he told us to proclaim the same thing toward Lebanon, which is the country to the north of Israel. And that's a country, at one time Israel was in the south of Lebanon. The United Nations said, if you will leave and pull out of Lebanon, we will guarantee peace. We'll send in UN peacekeepers to make sure they do not rearm. Well, that was back in 2006. And under the help of the United Nations peacekeepers, there are now 130,000 missiles in southern Lebanon that Hezbollah has aimed at Israel, where there were not to be any new arms brought in. Israel did what they said, pulled out, and they guaranteed no weapons there. And instead, there are 130,000 missiles aimed at northern Israel from southern Lebanon. And we felt that night God said, I also want to send lightning toward Lebanon. And there in Psalm 29, there's another verse that says, the voice of the Lord will strike the cedars of Lebanon and splinter them. Now, cedars of Lebanon are like the redwoods here in America. Great big huge trees. Some of them have been there 2,000 years. They're huge trees. When we went to help get a house of prayer going in Beirut, they took us up and showed us these big, huge cedar trees. They've been there all this time. And he says, the voice of the Lord can even turn into little splinters, turn into toothpicks, a big cedar of Lebanon. So we proclaimed this group, radical Islamic group, Hezbollah, terrorist group, it controls the government in Lebanon. It did control the government in Lebanon. And we proclaimed that night on October 14th, we said, let the voice of the Lord go like lightning toward Lebanon and splinter, divide Hezbollah, this evil Islamic terrorist group, and bring freedom to the people of Lebanon. That was October 14th. Again, we had lightning again as we proclaimed that. On October 17th, demonstrations began in the streets of Beirut and then spread all over Lebanon. And if you look it up on Wikipedia, it's gone every night since then. It's turned into a full-scale revolution. The prime minister had to resign, it's looking very possible that Hezbollah will lose their grip upon Lebanon. I mean, it'll be a major miracle, but something they haven't done anything so far that they could have done. They have the weapons to just come and kill the people and stop the thing, and somehow they haven't. So we believe probably they're fighting each other, and you know, God's working there. And the house of prayer that we help in Beirut got a tent downtown in the middle of the demonstrations where it's dangerous, and they're sharing the gospel and singing praise and worship to Jesus in this tent in the middle of very radical Muslims in downtown Beirut, Lebanon. So God is at work in the Middle East, and we just want to ask you for your prayers. We need a lot of prayer, as you can see, and there's something very powerful when we all pray. What, you think you got it now? Okay, well, let's show it then. It's just 30 seconds. It's out our window.
Now this is such a... Wow. First of all, the direction of Turkey, three blasts. This way is the east toward Iran, toward Tehran, three blasts.
So who says prayer isn't fun? It's very exciting. Tell the young people there's a lot of adventure in prayer. If you want to have a lot of adventure, learn to pray. And it's exciting to see God move things. Now I want to share, switch gears here and share just for a few minutes about some of the things the Lord spoke to us and showed us at the time of the going home to glory of our daughter, Esther, who was 29 years old, as Anna shared, and she went home to the Lord a year and a half ago now. And let me start with this. We had people all over the world praying for her. We've seen people who have been healed of cancer, major things, and one time in Belgium, we even saw a lady raised from the dead. A nurse had proclaimed that she was dead. It had been 20 minutes, and she had turned cold, and her body had turned cold. And we felt like God said very clearly to us, this is not my time for this lady. Call her spirit back into her body. And before I could think what to say, which was good, I just said, spirit, come back into this body in the name of Jesus. And the lady... Patricia was holding her hand. It turned warm. She felt the warmth come back into her hands, into her arms. And then the lady started trembling. And then she started saying in French, merci que tu m'as redonné ma vie. Thank you that you've given me back my life. And a Muslim came to the Lord. Now, when you see something like that, you're sure you're going to see your daughter healed. Do you understand what I'm saying? That just the mystery of some things we don't understand in life that don't turn out the way we thought they would. And I won't go into the story. It was a long process. She'd been diagnosed with triple negative breast cancer. They discovered what it was very far along, and they said, normally the younger you are, the faster it goes, and they said basically probably 6 months that she would have to live. She lived 2 years and 8 months, I think it was, after that. We thank the Lord for all the extra time we had with her. That was a gift from God, that we had that extra time together with her. But my wife had been there with her a lot, and then they were taking turns, and her husband came from England to be with her, and my wife had just left, and Esther seemed to be getting a fair amount better, and we were getting really encouraged because this huge growth under her arm, she couldn't even put her arm down, had gone from this down to about this, and felt like we're coming in on the full healing. She just suddenly took a dip in everything, you know, sepsis, which is blood poisoning, and all these things, different things together. It was just too much for her body. And the doctor said she had no more oxygen to her brain. They said, we can keep her alive on the machines, her organs alive, but she will never think or speak, or she just be a vegetable. And they said, call in the family. And God miraculously supplied where Anna and Bethany could come. My wife, Patricia, was already on the way back. I was in Africa, out in the boonies. I was almost to Mozambique, ready to speak. I was speaking, actually, for a school that Heidi Baker has there, and was going to go into Mozambique to minister to her pastors there. So I was out in the middle of nowhere. Crying out to God, because it seemed like it was going like this, and then suddenly it went like this. And I was on WhatsApp with my wife and with her husband, Will. And as we prayed, I really felt like God said that we had a word from Him to call her spirit back into her body. And I felt like it wasn't just our family love and compassion, but that God was actually saying this. And we proclaimed this in Jesus' name, let her spirit come back into her body. Will, by the time I got in the smaller plane to Johannesburg, South Africa, to start the first of two 11-hour flights to get to her, because she was in an alternative treatment center in Tijuana, Mexico. By the time I got there, there was a message from Will, her husband. He said, I went in to say goodbye to her body, and she sat up in bed and looked at me and said, you need a haircut. which we knew their brain was working fine then. And the amazing thing was, she'd been out for 3 weeks, and his hair had grown while he was there in the room praying and worshiping and all of this. And she was able to think fully. And the doctors called her El Milagro, the miracle. And the doctor said he got goosebumps. He said, I've never, ever seen this before. So we were so excited. And we assumed that meant she was around for a long, long time. But what we didn't understand was why she still, her body was, she couldn't even move, you know, her arms, her legs, or she was so weakened. Long story short, she shared bit by bit what she had seen in heaven. And the basic thing that she had seen, she said she'd gone through the dark black tunnel into light, like people often say in those kind of experiences. And then she said the Father was showing her life. And she said it was really strange because He didn't talk about what we think of as you did this or you did that, achievements in life, this, you did this in ministry, or you did that. It was all about love. He spoke to her about her love for Him and worshiping at times when it was really, really difficult, like I'm sure you saw with Barbara. He said, I cannot tell you how much you touch my heart. Your trust in those moments to just worship me, even though you didn't understand, and you still love me and you still worship me. And then He showed her scenes in her life where she had loved people, where either she'd forgiven someone of something where they'd really wounded her, or where she'd loved someone well. She said one person even, she said, I had totally forgotten. I didn't even remember until He showed me their face. And He said, you never know how much that changed their life, the love you showed to that unknown person. Just the kindness and the love changed their life. And He said, it meant so much to me. And just time. So everything was about the great commandments. Love the Lord your God with what? All your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, or love your neighbor as yourself, to forgive and to love others. And that was her heavenly experience. So that was the grace of God to allow us to hear that. She could have just gone and we didn't hear it. We would have known she was in heaven. But we heard firsthand what it was like. And also, again, the importance of love, which was a huge legacy that she's left. It convicts me every day, I can tell you. I think of it, I think every single day in some situation of who am I going to love like she loved? Am I going to love like the Lord wants me to love, like the Lord would love in this situation? And it really has impacted our lives deeply. We've shared it with others who then have. I just had a man at the conference in Dallas tell me, he said he has a worldwide television ministry. And he said, I was so touched by the story of your daughter. I've shared that all over the world, he said, about love and the importance of love. That's the most important thing, is are we loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then loving our neighbors, ourselves. Again, we just thought, okay, this means she's here for a long time. She started getting a little better to where she could move. You know, you could even actually pick up some things with her fingers, which was a big achievement. And then suddenly she took another dip. And this time, we didn't know these would be her last words, but she looked us right in the eye like a command to my wife, Patricia, to her husband, Will, to me, and to the doctor. And she said, Hodu ladanai ki tov. And it was like a command. She looked right in the eyes. Then she looked at the next one. Hodu ladanai ki tov. Then she looked at the next one. Hodu ladanai ki tov. The next one. Hodu ladanai ki tov. That's Hebrew. That means give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And it's like we didn't realize till later, it was like she was telling us, I'm going to leave you, but don't you dare say that God is not good. God is good. It was like an order, a command. God is good. And then the second order was like, give thanks to the Lord. Don't you stop thanking and praising God. And I've got to be real honest. There were times where I had to wrestle with, is God good? You know, a 29-year-old young woman with a wonderful just ministry and such a blessing to so many people. It was very hard to understand. But someone told us, and this really helped us at that time, they said, it's better to know God than to know why. And that really helped, because we still don't know all the whys, but we know God is good. I mean, no one else went through all that Jesus went through, to empty himself of his rights as God in the flesh, to empty himself of his rights and be tormented and the worst death you could ever experience, crucifixion, take all. But it wasn't just that. It was more what he suffered in his heart, because he took all our sorrows. He took our sicknesses. He took our sins. He took all these things, you know, upon himself. And so we know he's good. And so that has helped a lot when we've questioned, to come back to the fact we may not understand everything, but we know God is good. And when we thank God, when we worship God like you all did this morning, we rise up above it. The best way to rise above, we do need to grieve. We do, it's right to grieve. Jesus wept at the tomb of Lazarus. He wept with him. He understood what it was. But we, as Steve said, we don't grieve like the world does, because they don't have any hope. We know that we're going to see them again. And I mean, we would have known that if she hadn't come back and told us about what heaven was like. But because she came back, it was even more clear. You know, we have a hope. Even if we live to 110 or whatever, that's nothing compared to eternity. And through this whole thing, what has come very strongly to us is to live our lives in the light of the eternal. What is going to last forever? You remember in 1 Corinthians 13, he says it's faith, trust in God, hope. Hope means that he will do, that he will be who he is. We have a good hope because we know that heaven is real. It's not just some fairy tale thing out there. And love lasts forever. And to live our lives in the light of the eternal, and So there are many verses that have ministered to us at different times, and I want to share in Romans 8, verse 26. It says, in the same way, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. Grieving is a time of weakness. And he says, in any time of weakness, the Holy Spirit will help us because we don't know how we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And I just want to say, at those times when we feel very weak and we don't understand, we really need to let the Holy Spirit pray through us. There's something about those groanings that can't, you know, don't even have words. There's something about praying in tongues. It says in the Bible, the one who prays in the Spirit builds himself up, strengthens himself. And so many times when we felt weak and we don't know how to pray or what to pray in tongues or to allow the Holy Spirit to groan through us is something very powerful. And I encourage any who have not experienced that to come and ask for prayer. And that you could be baptized in the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues. There's a great power in letting the Holy Spirit pray through us for things we don't understand. And when we feel that weakness, and he strengthens us. This verse has especially become real to us. For we know that in all things, verse 28, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Another translation said, he works all things together for good. In all the things that happen to us, the good things and the bad things and the difficult things, the things when we have trusted God and moved by faith and seen God do something, the times where we have sinned and asked forgiveness, the times where we feel like we failed in some way and we question, well, should I have done this differently? Should I have done that differently? I mean, we wondered at different times with Esther afterwards, well, if we had, at this particular juncture, if we'd done this differently, would it have changed something? And you deal with those kind of things. I'm just being real with you, the feelings that you go through. But he says here, we know. And the word is like not just kind of know something intellectually, it's knowing it with your whole being. We know that in all things, he doesn't say just in the good things, even in things Satan has done and stolen, God is able to restore what the locust has eaten. God is able to, you know, to work it for good. We don't understand all, but we can know that in all things, God will somehow work it all together for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. Somehow in all of these things, the most important thing is, am I becoming more like Jesus? You know, through what I go through in life. Somebody said, you know, if you're given lemons, are you going to turn it into lemons or lemonade? Are we going to go into bitterness, or are we going to learn forgiveness in a hard situation where someone's difficult to forgive? Are we going to learn the power that God can give us, the power to forgive? And the most important thing in all the things that happen in our lives is to say, Lord, I believe you can work in, even in my failures that I have turned from and asked forgiveness for, you can turn all this somehow around and make it all work together for good in the end to get me where you want. And where he wants us is becoming like Jesus, to be conformed to the image of his Son. And it's almost like that's a spiritual law that supersedes every other law. I still believe in healing. I've seen people healed and miracles since Esther went home to the Lord. I don't understand that, but I still believe he's a healer. Do you understand? We need to not change our theology to fit some situation we went through. We need to say, Lord, I don't understand everything, but I know you are good, and I will give thanks, and I will still believe your word. And like I said, I've seen some miracles happen since then with people. It's hard to understand. But, he predestined, he called, justified, glorified, and all these things, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Then in verse 31, He says, what then? What shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? I'll look up here. I lost it here. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? Like I said, there were times where we'd feel condemnation about, wow, should we have done this? Did we do this wrong? Did we not have enough faith? Did we, you know, all these different questions that come. And he says, who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? Not him. Christ Jesus, who died more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is interceding for us. He's praying for each one of us. He's rooting us on. And Hebrews says that there's that great cloud of witnesses that is rooting us on. That's where Barbara is today in the cheering stand saying, run the race well. Finish the race well. Don't in any way get offended at God. Know that God is good. Know that he is able to work all things together for good because you love him and you're called according to his purpose. But more than just those people, there's Jesus himself who is interceding us. Who then shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. It keeps coming back to knowing he loves us. He really does love us. He really is good. And as we know that, then he says, I'm convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither present or future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So even when we encounter death, death, as it was mentioned today, death has died. Our Esther wrote a song in which she said, death has died. And we sing that often. Death has died. When he rose, death died. Death has lost its sting because no longer is death the end. We know that we have eternal life. If we know Jesus, we have eternal life now. And we have that life in him now. And he is able to turn everything, to work everything for our good if we love, because we love him. We're called according to his purpose. Now, I just want to share one other last thing. I'd like my wife to come and share this, a dream she had not too long ago. And it's something else that God has spoken to us through this whole time. And then I'll just share a scripture about that and we'll close in prayer. But if you can come and share that.
Well, first of all, I'm so thankful to be here in Millersburg. My great-grandparents had a house church in Millersburg, and my mom came and spent every summer with them. She read books over and over and over again, but she loved her grandparents, and they had family devotions every morning and every night, and they had church in their house on Sundays. And my great uncle lived down the street from the square. And so when I saw the square today, I thought, oh yeah, he lived right down there. We went down just half a block down and I think I found his house. I'm not sure, but yeah, he lived right here. And this is a very special place and it has a great spiritual heritage. And again, it's about the generations giving into the next generation. And it's not by chance that this church is here. There were many that came before and prayed, and he's calling us. My great grandparents had a house of prayer. They didn't call it that at the time, but it was a house of prayer. So I thank the Lord for that, and I thank him for his hand of blessing upon our family. Thank the Lord for this church. And what Rick wanted me to share was about a dream I had about Esther. In my dream, I was in a place, it seemed to be on the first floor, and there were some things that were happening that I was kind of troubled about. And So it involved this one lady, and I said, we got to go outside and talk, you know. And she's my really dear friend. And so she went down this ladder, and then I came down the ladder, and I was going to go off and talk to her about this situation. And at the bottom of the ladder was Esther in my dream. This is all a dream. And Esther, our daughter, was at the bottom of the ladder. And I said, oh, Esther, it's so good to see you. And she said, hi, Mom. And I said, but I've got to go talk to this person, and then I'll be right back. And then I started going, and I thought, I don't need to talk to that person. What am I thinking? Esther's here. And so I spent a couple of hours in my dream. It felt like I just had spent a whole evening with her. And we wrote a song together in my dream. It was all about glory and holy. That's all I remember. And I even tried to sing it in one of the watches, and the glory of God came down. But the point was, it wasn't important. That little thing that was shaking my world was not even important in the light of eternity. And when I woke up from that dream, well, there's one other part of the dream. Somebody was coming to share with Esther about the same issue. And they were coming toward her, and I thought, oh, no, Esther can't be troubled. There's no fear in heaven. There's no sadness in heaven. There's, you know, she can't hear this. But I looked over at Esther, and she's like this in a different world, eyes closed. She didn't even know what was, she wasn't aware of that. And I thought, that's how we're supposed to be. That's how we're supposed to live. So when I woke up from that dream, I had such a sense of eternity. And from that point on, I was able to let go of little things that used to bother me, you know, just little things that come up. And then sometimes our pride is challenged, you know, and we just feel like, you know, being envious or being upset about, well, why did that happen? And, you know, and the Lord has used that dream in my life so much. And we have a saying now, we say to each other, go down the ladder, go down the ladder. It means humble yourself. Don't worry about it. Let it go. And that's all we have to say to each other. Go down the ladder. And we know what that means. Go down the ladder to be in that heavenly place where you can rise above the challenges of this life and let go of all those things that would so easily spoil the vines, you know, the little foxes that spoil the vines. And so Esther lives on in eternity as part of the cloud of great cloud of witnesses. And Jesus is interceding for us. And I believe that, you know, sometimes he lets us have dreams that bring our loved ones back to us in such a real way. It's a different dimension. And, you know, he is so faithful. And our loved ones are so close to us because heaven is just a veil away. It's so thin. It's so thin. And, you know, what we want to do here on this earth is bring heaven down. And that's what we pray all the time, that heaven would come down. And just like in that dream, glory and holy, it's all about his glory. It's all about his holiness, bringing that down to earth. And so I just want to encourage you, as time goes on, God will do so many special things for you concerning Barbara. He's given me gifts. This is another story that I won't tell, this necklace, earrings, ring that God used to help remove that spirit of heaviness off of me and the spirit of condemnation, along with some other things that happened and scriptures that he gave. And I can point to the time that all that heaviness came off of me, and I just began, you know, I put on the garment of praise, and from that point on, I didn't wake up wanting to cry. Like, I was like that teenage girl that Anna talked about, that every morning I wanted to cry, and I didn't want to face life, and I don't wake up that way anymore. I just don't. And it was that one experience, along with a few other things, that just, so God is faithful to bring you through those times when you just feel like you can't go on, and you know, He will do these wonderful things because He does love you, and you are called according to His purpose, and He will work all things together for good.
That's right. When I just close with this scripture in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 9 through 11, it says, "There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works." In other words, all are just trying to find our identity and prove ourselves by achieving. And he says, "They rest from their works just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter into that rest so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience." In other words, it's through obedience, through trust in God, we can enter into his rest. And he said, but you have to make an effort. Like Esther didn't really have to make an effort. It's like, Barbara doesn't have to make an effort now. She's entered into his rest. We often say that about someone who knows the Lord and has passed on. They've entered into their rest. They're in their full rest. But like Patricia was saying, God wants us to experience more of heaven on earth now. And part of heaven is going down the ladder, humbling ourselves, not getting so all-consumed with difficult things in life that becomes the center instead of him and his rest. I'd like to just encourage you to stand right now, and I'd just like to pray a blessing from Jerusalem over you. And I just encourage you just to ask the Lord right now. Just say, "Lord, show me what it means to really put love first, to love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. To give me a new joy in worshiping you, a new joy in just thanking you and loving you, and just the adventure of prayer, the adventure of worship, the adventure of living with you on this earth. That we're not just in a humdrum daily existence here, but we can be with you, and now we can know your love and love you. And as we love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, then he reveals his love to us, and it sets us free from all this striving to find our identity in what we do. It's not how good we are at this, or how much money we've made, or how famous we're not, or anything. Those things just, the world makes such a big thing out of all of those things, and they're so temporary. And God wants us to live in the eternal and for the eternal. And as we do that, we then can forgive and we can love. So ask the Lord if there's someone you need to forgive this morning. Maybe there's someone you need to, later on the day, you need to call and ask forgiveness for something. Let's let the Lord do these things in our lives. Or maybe it's this thing of the striving, and you've gotten all upset about this situation or that situation. And God's saying, "We just come down the ladder and let that go. And make an effort to enter into my rest." And it is an effort. It still is. It's still for us. But we remind each other, let's go down the ladder. Let's just enter into his rest. So, Father, I pray for each one in this place. Lord, I thank you for this church. Again, we thank you, Lord, for the godly heritage. Even here in Millersburg, Lord, we claim this family inheritance of blessing in this city. And we bless from Jerusalem, from Zion. We bless Millersburg and this whole area, all the towns around here, everything around this whole area. We bless it in the name of Yeshua, in the name of Jesus. Let the presence of God begin to come more strongly over Millersburg and over this area. As they continue to worship and pray and seek you and love you with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, let the atmosphere shift even more. Thank you for this wonderful report about all these young people that gave their hearts to you. Lord, help them to walk with you, walk strongly with you. And we pray that this whole area will begin to shift and begin to change. And from Jerusalem, we pray the blessing of the presence of God over this area, that more and more it would, the atmosphere of heaven would invade here on earth, the righteousness, the peace, the joy of the kingdom of God, the love that helps us to forgive and love other people, the rest Father, I bless each one here with a greater ability to go down the ladder where they need to go down the ladder and say, you know, I'm just going to let that go. I'm not going to let that rob all my peace. I'm just going to trust God to work in this situation. And I'm going to love these people and forgive these people. And I'm not going to allow that to become the center of my thoughts. I'm going to let God and His peace be the center of my thoughts and the center of my heart. So from Jerusalem, we bless you with the shalom, with that peace that passes all understanding. Even at difficult times, even in times when we don't understand something, we know that God is good and we can rest in His goodness. So Father, I thank you for a fresh revelation of your goodness to everybody here. I believe you, Lord, for fresh revelation of how good you are, how good you have been, how good you are and how good you will be. And that we could just lean back into your arms and rest in you, knowing that you care for us and that you love us. We thank you for this amazing, both father heart love, and as Anna mentioned, the mother heart love, like a hen that gathers her chicks. I pray this whole church will just feel the mother hen part of God putting the wings around you. And feeling safe and comforted and loved close under His wings. Lord, keep us all close to you. Help us not to waste our life on things that aren't important, but let us, like Barbara, Lord, have a wonderful legacy, like Esther, a wonderful legacy where people are still talking about the love that they showed and the love they experienced through them. We just thank you for her wonderful legacy. We bless this family. We bless this church. And we bless this area in the name of Yeshua, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. God bless you all.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. For more information on the ministry of Hillside Christian Fellowship, go to our website at www.hillsidechristian.org.